If you have read through the entire Bible, and I hope everybody here has, you will notice certain phrases and sentences that are repeated many times and in different contexts, such as the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord." Prophets would say this, and they are announcing that it's not their opinions, they are the ambassador bringing God's word. Another recurring phrase is, "And it came to pass." And that usually is talking about some historical event, saying, now this is what happened next. But sometimes it's used after the fulfillment of a prophecy. A prophet had said something was going to happen, and then a later prophet said, "And it came to pass," just as God had said. And that phrase does not mean once upon a time, which is what one Hebrew scholar mistakenly suggested. And it did come to pass. Another such phrase is, "Praise the Lord." And in Hebrew, it's the word hallelujah. That's found dozens of times in the Bible. Another lovely phrase is, "His mercy endures forever." Mercy there is that great Hebrew word, chesed, his covenant love, his loving kindness. In fact, one of the Psalms has that phrase something like 30 times as the refrain after a certain other phrase. You find another such phrase many times where God simply says, "I am the Lord." You find that often in the books of Moses where God lays down a certain law and says, "You shall do this, I am the Lord. You shall not do that, I am the Lord." As if he is answering their objection, "Why should I do that?" God says, "It's because I am the Lord." Like parents tell their children, "Do this." The child says, "Why?" "Because I'm your dad, I'm your mom, and I tell you so." God says, "I am the Lord." Did you know that that's how the Ten Commandments begin? "I am the Lord thy God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall have no other gods before me. I am the Lord." This morning I will draw our attention to another such phrase similar to that, that is found repeatedly in the Bible, especially the book of Ezekiel, such as in the verses we read earlier. And the phrase is this: "Then you shall know that I am the Lord." I counted 62 times in the book of Ezekiel that God says this. And sometimes it's in variation. Sometimes it's, "Then you shall know," or, "Then they shall know that I am the Lord." And in looking at those different contexts, you see that it falls down to different categories, and there's a pattern to this. And we will concentrate on this pattern this morning. That phrase is found on the lips of Ezekiel. And in fact, in one place, chapter 24, God says, "Go and prophesy to them, then they will know I am the Lord." Why? How? When God speaks through his prophets. And that principle applies to us today. People deny the existence of God, or they question it. But when they come to God's word by the prophets and the apostles, and when God energizes that word, then they will know the Lord is God and he is speaking. The context is this: God chose Israel as a special people, gave them the law, the prophets, many great promises, the land, but it was all conditional. They broke the covenant. And they wandered into idolatry, and God sent prophet after prophet to warn them, "You better repent, or God's going to punish you. He's going to take you out of the land. He's going to make you slaves in another land. And then you will know that he is the Lord." And Ezekiel was one of those such prophets. And it came to pass that the Babylonians conquered Israel and dragged them off as slaves to Babylon. Now here's our first category. When God sent Israel into slavery as punishment, then they knew the Lord was God. Ezekiel 11, 9 to 10, God says, I will deliver you into the hands of strangers and execute judgments on you. You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you at the border of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. That began 70 years in exile in Babylon as punishment for disobeying God. It was God's chastening of his people. That lesson applies to us. We're God's people. And if we dare disobey his law or not believe his promises and we backslide and start acting like the world, God will chasten us out of love as a father because he loves us. And when we backslide, we will give lip service and say, yeah, God is God. But we really don't believe that until he lays the chastening rod on our back. Then we know God means business. Then we know he is our father. When? Then. God also said that he would take his people out of the land into another land, and those Babylonians would destroy the temple that Solomon had built for the worship of God, but the Jews had misused. Therefore, God says, I'm going to destroy it, and I'll later rebuild another one. And in that context, he says, then you will know that I am the Lord. That's Ezekiel 24:24. Then, we're told in Ezekiel 36:11, that they will know that the Lord is God when he remembers his covenant. You see, he had a covenant with the people. He says, I will send you into exile, but I'll bring you back. You are still my people. They broke the covenant, but God remembers his covenant. And he still does. And so he promises in chapter 20, verse 42, and several other places, he says, you are still my people. I took you out of the land. I punished you. I will bring you back in the land. They didn't believe the threat when he said, I'll take you out of the land, but when they were in exile, they said, please, we repent, we repent. You see, that was a condition. God says, when you repent, then you will know I am the Lord your God. And he brings them back when they thought it was hopeless. And when he promises to bring them back, he says, then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That applies to us. When he chastens us, and when we get the message, when we finally repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry I sinned, I'm sorry that I backslid, then God brings us back into the area of blessing, and then we know the Lord is God, our God. We know that our loving Father still loves us and is the Lord. That's the first category of where these statements are found repeatedly. The second one is, not just when God chastened his people Israel, but when he punished Babylon and all of God's enemies. You see, they were taking turns beating up on God's people, and God says, I'm going to chasten you out of love. I'm going to punish them out of justice. Babylon, the greatest empire that the world has ever known, is going to come crumbling down. And so repeatedly, God uses that phrase when he threatens judgment upon Babylon, Assyria, Moab, and all of these other nations. For example, Ezekiel 25:17, God says this, I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance on them. But they didn't listen. Oh, God sent occasional prophets like Jonah into pagan lands to warn them and to offer terms of peace and forgiveness, but the pagans didn't listen. And God says, they'll know that I am God when I punish them severely. But he didn't usually send them the gospel. Now that principle applies throughout the rest of history. As God's people continue from Israel to the church throughout history, the world, as it were, takes turn beating up on God's people. God's people have been persecuted throughout history. And those persecutors think they get away with it. They think they get away with their sin. And God says, one day you will know I am God and these are my people. And he will punish them, all the nations, Not just Babylon and Moab and the others, all the nations of Europe, all the nations of Asia, North and South America, Africa, the various islands, all will be punished by God one day for opposing God and his people. And that includes the United States of America. The most powerful nation on earth today is still the USA, just like Babylon. But Babylon was crumbled under God's justice. That will happen to America one day. Why? Because we deserve it. And that's what God says in Ezekiel 7:27. Because of their sin. He says this, I will do to them according to their way and according to what they deserve, I will judge them. Then they will know that I am the Lord. People think that they can sin with impunity in whole nations, pass laws contrary to God's law. They tear up the Ten Commandments where God says, I am the Lord your God. You'll not have any other gods before me. And they say, we'll worship whomever or whatever we will. God says, you just wait. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Now this is what God begins to do in a person's life as he prepares them for conversion. He convicts them of sin. And that person may be running from God, trying to ignore God, worshiping other idols. God chases them down and convicts him of sin, and he realizes he deserves to be punished. And like that thief on the cross that said to the other thief, we are getting what our deeds deserve. That's what conviction of sin produces, where a person says, I repent, I deserve to be punished. That's the prayer of repentance. But the whole nations will not do this, therefore they will be judged by God. It begins at the second coming and then it continues at Judgment Day. What does the Bible say about Judgment Day and why is it absolutely certain? Again, Ezekiel 7:4 says this, my eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Fast forward to what the Bible says about Judgment Day. It says in the book of James, judgment will be without mercy. God offers mercy now, even as he thunders warnings of judgment. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. But people put their hands over their ears and their eyes, and they say, we don't want the Lord God to be our God. And God says, but at judgment day, you will know that I am the Lord your God. And as the sentence of eternal hellfire is read out to the lost, doomed sinners at judgment day, they may cry out for mercy, but God says in this verse, my eye will not spare you. The day of mercy and grace is over, nor will I pity. And when God reads out that thunderous judgment, it's as if that same phrase is echoing. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. They will wake up at judgment day and say it was true after all. God will prove to them he is the Lord God. And then as they are consigned to eternal hellfire, then they will know that there is Lord, the Lord God. Listen to what it says, Ezekiel 15:7. They will go out from one fire, but another fire shall devour them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. They go through what they euphemistically call hell here on earth. You've heard people, they're going through a bad time. Oh, I'm going through hell. The fire that they're going through on in this life is nothing like hell fire, but when they get to the ultimate hell fire, God says, then you will know that I am the Lord. Then the book of Ezekiel records some specific sinners that he will punish and remind them that he is God. For example, Ezekiel 6:13 and 14, they will know that he is the Lord God when he destroys their idols. Remember the Ten Commandments, no other gods before me. And so people worship other gods that they say is the one true God, or they believe in many gods like the Babylonians and the Egyptians and today the Hindus. But God says he will destroy all the idols. And then they will know the Lord is the one true God and is not to be worshipped by idols. And that includes the misconceptions of God that we have in our mind, that we reform God in our image. Then Ezekiel 13:9 and 14:8 says that they will know he is God when he punishes their false prophets. All those religions, in fact, all religions in history have had false prophets that claim to represent the true God. Not like Ezekiel, who was a true prophet. And God said through his true prophets, then they will know he is the Lord God. But God promises that he will one day punish their false prophets. And he did. And he will. Just think about that. Think of all the religions on earth today. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Jainism, Sikhism, and so many others. The cults, the occult. And they think that they are worshiping the true God or goddess or gods or whatever. God will vindicate himself and will punish all the false prophets. Just think about it. At Judgment Day, Muhammad will grovel on his knees before the Lord God Almighty. And he has been propagating his heresy for centuries, saying Allah is the one true God and Muhammad is his prophet. And God will say, that is a lie. Then they will know the Lord God Jehovah is the one true God. Buddha will be brought in and will be made to confess that the Lord God is the one true God. The false prophets of all the different cults and the pseudo-Christian preachers and priests, the liberal theologians, the TV preachers that are false prophets that only want money. God will judge every single one of them. And on that day, God thunders, then they will know I am the one true God. They can't get away with it. Religious hypocrites will know that the Lord is God. Then in Ezekiel 13, 21 to 23, God says he will punish those that practice the occult, the black arts, soothsaying, sorcerers, the black arts of trying to predict the future. The word occult means trying to get secret knowledge or secret power. And people go to fortune tellers, Ouija boards, astrology. All of this is utterly condemned by God in the book of Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, and many other places. And God says one day he will punish all of them. There will be no sorcerers in heaven. They'll all go to hell, according to the book of Revelation. And they think now that they can make money, and a lot of them are simply charlatans. But a lot of them are in league with the devil and its demonic power. But God will judge them as well as the devil. And then, they will know the Lord is God. Also, we're told in Ezekiel 23:49 elsewhere that when God punishes those that are sexually immoral, committing adultery, fornication, homosexuality, the porn stars, the movies, the television, and we are awash and drowning in sexual immorality all around the world, and people have made that their God and their goddess, but God says he will punish them, and then they will know he is the Lord God. When will lost sinners finally acknowledge that God is God? When God punishes them for their sinful behavior and their unrepentant heart, then they will know the Lord is God. But there's something even greater. Ezekiel 36:23, God says, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord. One day God will vindicate himself to the world of lost sinners. God will vindicate his glory that humankind has smeared and mocked. And repeatedly we're told in Ezekiel and elsewhere that one day God will prove beyond any doubt that he alone is the one true God. Right now we don't see him. We will see him at Judgment Day. We don't hear him with our ears. But God's word says everybody will actually see and hear God, and there will be no doubt that he is the one true God. Then they will know that I am the Lord. They will know the truth of that very holy statement that God gave to Israel. You know, God gave him his laws, his promises, the prophets. But one of the greatest promises and one of the greatest statements God ever gave to them was the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And yet people deny that. They ignore it. They twist it. But what does this great promise say? Then they will know I am the Lord and I am one. There is only one true God, and his name is not Allah. Allah is a false god worshipped by hundreds of millions of people that are deluded into thinking he is the one true God. He is not the one true God. Allah of Islam is not the same as the one true God of the Bible. They are diametrically opposite. One is a Trinity, one is not. One is a God of grace, the other one is not. Who is Allah? He is a false demon in disguise, deluding many people. And people are going to their grave and into eternal hell following this false God named Allah and his false prophet named Muhammad. But God will vindicate himself at judgment day. And he will punish the devil and all the demons that are masquerading as demons hiding behind these religions. And God will vindicate him and will say before not just the Muslims, but before all human beings that he is the one true God and not Allah. Then they will know he is the one true God. They're the atheists that deny his existence. And the agnostics that say they don't know if he exists. The pantheists that say God is everything and everything is God. And the polytheists that say there are many, many gods. But on that great day of vindication, God will prove beyond any doubt he is the Lord God. Then they will know he is the Lord. It will be like when God occasionally has vindicated his existence in history through the prophets and miracles. Such as on Mount Carmel in the days of Elijah, when most of Israel was following Baal and Ashtoreth and all these pagan gods, Chemosh, Molech. And so God sent noble Elijah to challenge him to a duel as it were on top of Mount Carmel. So he says, get all your false prophets and bring in the false prophetesses as well. 850 of them against one. But one with God as a majority. And so there is Elijah and then the false prophets. And he says, now we'll see which one worships the one true God. And they tried to call down fire. It didn't happen. And Elijah prayed that God would vindicate himself and send fire. And didn't even finish the prayer. And God sent fire. What was the purpose? What was the result of this? All the false prophets were trembling. And what did they say? The Lord is God. The Lord is God. In fact, it's in Hebrew, it's the Lord is the God. They got the point. God will vindicate himself as the Lord, the one and only Lord. He will vindicate himself as Trinity. The Father is God. God will vindicate himself, listen closely, against those that worship the mother goddess. Call her Gaia or the many other terms, you know, the mother goddess of Ishtar, Isis, Athena, and all the other ones. People are deluding to thinking God is female or at least partly female. No, he is God, the Father, not the earth mother goddess Gaia. He will vindicate himself. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, will vindicate himself against Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, Mormons, and a slew of others that deny his full deity, or those that compromise and say he became God or he's only partly God. God will vindicate the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they will know the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And Philippians 2 gives us that great promise that at the judgment day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. When? Then they will know Jesus Christ is Lord. And then the third member of the Trinity will be vindicated, the Holy Spirit. Those that depersonalize him and say he's only a force or power or ether. Or even those that blaspheme him and commit the unpardonable blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. They cannot get away with it at judgment day. Then they will know the Holy Spirit is God. One God in three persons. He will vindicate himself as a Trinity. On that day, God will vindicate all of his words, his threats, his promises, his ways. Those that say, God's not fair. I'm being punished for something I didn't do. If this God is loving, why would he do this? Why are there wars? And they're challenging God. They're lifting up a fist of rebellion against the Most High God. But God will vindicate himself. We call that in theology theodicy, the defense of God. And when we share the gospel, you've heard objections and people throw them at you like mud. It's not up for us to defend God. God defends himself. All we have to do is quote what God says. And if they say, I still don't believe that, we can say to them in God's name like Ezekiel, the day is coming when you will know the Lord is God. When? Then you will know the Lord is God. God will vindicate all of his words, his ways, his threats, his promises. Sinful mankind has ignored and disobeyed God. And they think that they could get away with it. They think they could hide behind their sin, hide in the darkness, hide behind their religiosity. They can't get away with it. Because God says, then you will know that I am the Lord. And it'll be too late for repentance or salvation. Just imagine the terror that goes through their hearts when they know that the Lord is God and they cry out from the deepest caverns of their soul, it was true after all. They will then know the Lord is God. The Bible says that day of judgment is coming, and there are several purposes. One purpose is that God will vindicate Christians and will reward them. Come, you blessed, into the eternal kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. We will be vindicated. We'll be brought into a great kingdom of love, greater than we can imagine. It's one of the purposes of the judgment day. Another purpose is the ultimate punishment of non-Christians that die lost in their sins. Even those that think that, well, when you die, it's like blowing out a candle. You don't exist anymore. But when they wake up 2 seconds later, and then later appear at the judgment day, they will know that the Lord is God when they are punished. Those are two of the purposes of judgment day. But I put it to you, that's not the ultimate purpose of the judgment day. The ultimate purpose of the judgment day is not simply the reward and vindication of Christ's people or the punishment and execution of his enemies. Those are true, but the ultimate purpose is this, the vindication of God. God will vindicate himself once and for all. When? Then they will know he is the Lord. Nobody at judgment day will doubt that he is the Lord who is a holy God. Maybe for the first time in their life, they will know what true holiness is. And all those that are in hell will know once and for all that they are hell-deserving lost sinners and enemies of God, getting just what they deserve. Then they will know God is who he has described himself as, indirectly through nature, more in conscience, most of all in Scripture, in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will now know just who God is. They will know he is one. They'll know he is the Trinity. They'll know he is holy, and then they will know he is angry at them. They will know it and experience it. But what about Christians? That judgment day in an eternal heaven, we will smile and know God kept all of his promises. All of our doubts will vanish away like fog in the morning. You know, sometimes we have doubts. We go through a trial. We're not perfect. None of us have perfect faith. So we still have doubts. Not in heaven. When we get to heaven, then we will know the Lord is God. All of his promises were true after all. And we'll smile. I think we'll even have a laugh. How could we have doubted that? We will know beyond any doubt. The Bible says we will know fully even as we are fully known. And dear brethren, here on earth, sometimes we wonder, going through a trial, if God loves me, why would he let this happen? When we get to heaven, we'll understand why God let it happen. And everything, even those worst trials, were for our good, Romans 8:28. Then we will know all of God's ways were good for us. And we will have no more doubt then that God really did love us. And will love us. Why? Because then we will know he is the Lord who loved us. So many other things will become crystal clear on that day to believers. We will fully understand more of Jesus, His work on the cross, His beautiful promises, His ways for us. We will also then understand more how really bad we really were back on earth, and how what Jesus suffered in order to save us. Let me quote you the words of a wonderful hymn composed about 200 years ago by a great Scottish preacher, Robert Murray McShane. He died at only age 29, and he said this beautiful hymn: "When this passing world is done, when has sunk the glaring sun, when we stand with Christ in glory, looking o'er life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, and not till then, how much I owe. Even on earth, as through a glass, darkly let the glory pass, make forgiveness feel so sweet, make thy spirit's help so meet. Even on earth, Lord, make me know something of how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe." We will know that we owed far more to God than we ever realized back on earth. And we will then begin to understand how much Jesus really did suffer for us in order to save us worthless sinners and to forgive everything that we owed. This sentence, repeated 62 times in Ezekiel and a few times elsewhere, is a serious warning to unbelieving sinners. And if there are any unbelieving sinners here today, we urge you to run to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him. Heed His warning. But it's also, you see, an offer of forgiveness and mercy. And He not only offers it to you, He commands you, take it. And this awesome phrase is also a reminder, a blessing to Christians. Thus says the Lord, then you will know that I am the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, write those words on our hearts, in our minds, lest we ever doubt or forget that you are the Lord. Through Christ our Lord and Savior, amen.